All right.
So, I mean, certainly, public morals can be improved through the exercise of the secular power by placing a limit on bad behavior. You know, there are certain things we just will not allow to have happen, such as, you know, killing your neighbor or stealing his things. But not on matters of conscience or matters of correct doctrine. And once again, if you study history at all, you know that the church has suffered from those imperial powers that sought to direct doctrine, especially in the early days, where the religious beliefs, so to speak, and practices were shaped and changed from one emperor to the next, who embraced various ideas. The church, just as we as individuals, must be free to articulate its own understanding of doctrine, and conscience cannot be commanded except by its own response to God. So the mission and purpose of the church upon the earth is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, leading to the salvation of all who believe. In all circumstances, Christians have trimmed their sails, as my sail can see, to capture the changing winds of the times, to reach the goal of eternal life, together with all the faithful, in union with the unchanging God, where there is ceaseless sound of those keeping festival, of those who behold the ineffable beauty of his face. So, a case may be made that the church actually does best under persecution. And in fact, to such an extent that for us Orthodox, the very word in Greek, which means to witness, has come to mean someone who has died, been put to death, because of their witness, to be a martyr. Father George Calci, once again, referred to him, who spent, I think it was a total of 14 years in communist prison, suffered unspeakable tortures, as he himself said, was the subject of an effort on the part of the state to create a new man, which involved the unmasking and breaking down of the old man, by which the state did not mean a man of sin, but meaning the natural person, and to shape them into obedient slaves of the state. And he frankly admitted, he said, and we all succumbed in the prison. He said it was impossible. But he said, in prison I also came to I recovered. I came to a deeper place of faith, a deeper place of conviction. And I promised to God, this is during his first imprisonment, that if I were released, I would seek to become a priest and to preach that gospel of freedom in this society of imprisonment and inhuman behavior. And of course we know he did, or he was released, and he did become a priest. And it was precisely because of his active public preaching that he went back to the prison. But there, in his second imprisonment, he was better prepared. But he also shared with us, he said many years later, he and others, like Father Roman, Raga, yeah, I was going to say Lukian, that's a Russian fellow I knew. went back to visit Romania, and actually went to Pitești, the worst of the prisons that they were in. And he said there was a certain nostalgia that they experienced, because they said when we were there, we were closer to God than at any other time in our lives, before or after. So there's a certain place where, not that I desire it, but there's a certain place where having a government which is opposed to faith is actually beneficial to us. If, what do they say? If you can survive it. Because not all do, and that's the sad part. When conscience, when the state attempts to coerce conscience and to dictate belief, to dictate non-belief, to dictate how one may or may not worship God. But I do have to tell you, another man who was in those prisons with them, who never became Orthodox in his affiliation, but was what I consider to be an Orthodox soul, Pastor Richard Vermbrand. He told us once, he said, I was imprisoned by the Nazis because I was a Jew. He was a Romanian Jew who became Christian before the Nazis arrived. He said, I was imprisoned and beaten by the Nazis because I was a Jew. Later, I was imprisoned and beaten by the communists because I was a Christian. He said, it hurt both times. And I think, for me, it's like, draw your lines under that. It hurt both times. I'm not here to talk about right versus left and all that sort of thing. I'm here to talk about freedom. I'm here to talk about freedom as understood in the church, the liberty of the sons of God, the glorious liberty, it said, of the children of God. You see, St. Paul says. That's what we're talking about. And then how that impels us into the world. How we are to be in the world, which is not easy. But I do maintain that if we will strive for that integrity, we must bring all of that into our public life. It doesn't mean, we'll get to that too. Maybe we'll get there now. There are kind of three responses to the pluralistic society in which we live. I'll do this and then we'll take a break. One is, we attempt to force everybody to believe as we do. That solves the problem, right? No. That's called tyranny.
Absolutely.
It's not advised. Because God, who alone has the wisdom to be a tyrant, isn't. I mean, that's the funny part about this. You know, in Greek philosophy, Aristotle says, his politics, he outlines different types of government, right? And he says the highest form of government is a dictator. It's like it really works well for society because, things go on real smoothly. He said, as long as you have a benevolent dictator. But he says, if you don't have a benevolent dictator, it's the worst form of government. So it's like, do we want to live our lives based on the personality of the person who is ruling? I don't think so. It's too big a risk, right? Okay, so three possible options for us. So we've eliminated dictator for life. Okay. The second one is we just kind of be silent. We don't rock the boat. And we just let people do whatever they're doing, right? That's called laissez-faire. Sort of let them do what they're doing. But doesn't that seem to be a lack of love? I'll tell you, some of you may know, there's the stage magic team called Penn and Teller. Some of you heard of them. I saw a really, it's kind of ugly video because it's a selfie. But anyway, Penn Jillette, apparently after his performances, he keeps like a video blog kind of thing. And so I saw this one once where he said, something had happened that had really affected him, really moved him. He said, at the end of one of his performances, he said people often want to stick around and talk or say something, and he noticed there was a guy off in the wings, you know, this was a live show in Las Vegas or someplace like that, there was a guy off in the wings waiting to talk to him. So when he was able, he, you know, hello, hello. And he said, the man thanked him, said it's a great show, it's actually the second time I've seen it, I was here yesterday too. He said, really, you know, you guys do such a fantastic job, it's very entertaining, it's wonderful. And he complimented him, you know, on their performance, their show. And he said, see, Penn Jillette is an atheist. And not just an atheist in the privacy of his own home, he's actually very vocal. And not only is he vocal, he actually engages in debate with people of faith about why he's not. I think he had a Calvinist minister for a father or something. Which makes a lot of sense. But so the man says, so I understand you, you know, you don't believe in God. And all, and he says, then that's fine, that's, you know, it's your right. He says, but I want to give you something. And he pulled out a New Testament with the Psalms included. And so I just want to give this to you. And so then in his video blog, Penn is reflecting on this. And it, you could tell it really had moved him. He said, you know, this man was very respectful, complimentary, and he just wanted to give me this gift. He said, you know, I don't believe what he believes, but I appreciated his demeanor in how he gave me this gift. And he said, and you know, he said, if you believe in a God, he said, I don't believe in God, but if you do believe in a God, and if you believe that what you believe in relation to that God determines whether you go to heaven or hell after you die, he says, I don't believe in heaven or hell, either one. But if you believe in those things, and you don't tell someone else about it, how much must you hate them not to tell them? You see what that does? This atheist understands better than most of us the value, because he's thinking rationally. He says, if you actually believe that, if you believe there's a God, and that what you do in relation to that God determines your eternal destiny, how much do you have to hate somebody not to tell them? It's like you see somebody driving down the road and you know that the bridge has collapsed, but you don't bother to try to stop them. I'm not talking about interfering with their free will, but to say, hey, as St. Theophan says, turn around, you're going the wrong way. You see, there's a danger here. So I think that's profound on the part of this atheist who understands this. And I think it's edifying for us to think about that too.